listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome back, everyone. Got a few updates and also a recap of last week, and I do have a guest that should be coming on to speak with us about some horrible things that happened to him in the DHS system. A grown man, I might say, you know, who's lived with this trauma for many, many years. It's just a shame that people have to go through such trauma in their lives due to a broken system, you know, the umbrella system. So we'll get down to business. I want to share some things with you on the King Hill case. Because remember, King Hill is still out there missing, either missing or body to be recovered. Let's say that because we don't know. It's up in the air. Everything that we have, some things are confirmed and some things are alleged in this particular case. So I'll start off with saying I spoke to some people that know Tiana Parks. Unfortunately, I can't mention their name because they're a part of the case at hand that will be testifying on behalf of Tiana. They are saying that Tiana had communication with King Hill's alleged biological father prior to him missing via Facebook. They wanted me to put that out there. You know, they say you talk about this stuff with King Hill, you talk about, you know, him still possibly being missing, someone possibly getting him that should not have him, or, you know, all types of different possibilities in this particular case. But they wanted me to put it out there and let it be known that they would be testifying on behalf of Tiana Parks in regards to this Facebook connection she had with this gentleman, who she was under the impression that he was King Hill's biological father. So this is something very, very important because, you know, a lot of people have it as he's deceased. And if he is deceased and she did have communication with this alleged father, basically that would eliminate her going down the road. If you're looking at this thing towards trial, it would pretty much eliminate her as any wrongdoing, because if she handed him off to the guy who says, listen, let's connect, I'm the biological dad, I got his mom right there in the back seat, because she did say she witnessed the mother come out of the car, according to her statement, and according to her relatives who passed on this information. And they wanted it to be known that she had an ongoing communicative relationship with this gentleman who claimed to be King Hill's father. So let's just throw that out there, because we still don't know all the facts. Well, we do know facts of the alleged weapon used to murder this 2-3-year-old kid. We do know that that was withdrawn and basically thrown down the river. You know, it's basically they threw it out. They threw it out. It's no murder weapon. It's no murder weapon. So how did she murder him? You know, strangulation, beat his head on the sidewalk, all allegedly, by the way. But this was something interesting, and it was confirmed because it is a fact. And remember Cousin that came on the show and, you know, basically gave us some descriptive information on when he, you know, basically had a conversation with T Parks and said, hey, King is missing. You're not answering phone calls. What's going on? And basically, she tells her story of, listen, I was threatened by the dad who said he was the dad. And the mom came out the car, according to her. She felt comfortable with releasing him at that point, because she was just a babysitter. She wasn't like someone that was trying to be his mom. She had a natural care for the kid. From what I could tell, you know, pictures that was posted on her social media, and that's been confirmed, she had this kid and she always had him looking sharp. His hair was always braided, you know, was always done. He was a clean cut kid. to be with a babysitter. So that babysitter had to, meaning T. Parks, had to show some care or love in her heart. She was also, by the way, folks, potty training this kid. Her family member made me aware of that as well, which that was very shocking because usually if you're just a babysitter, that's the parent's job. You know, train your kid how to use the bathroom. That's your job as a parent, you know. But then again, it takes a parent to do parent things. And mind you, Tiana Parks didn't have any children. So I think she got a lot of her ongoing parenting skills from her family members because from what's been confirmed is that her family members, they always have, you know, a lot of kids at the house, kids that are family members' kids, kids they don't even know, you know, the summer pool parties, barbecues, everybody was welcome to come. If you had a kid and that kid wanted to play with the other kids, your kid was more than welcome to come over. But we will keep the airwaves open in regards to King Hill / King Mirandez, King Carabello, whichever name he may have. And hopefully he's 3 years old now. Is he three? No, he's actually 4 years old now. So keep that in mind that soon King Hill, Carabello Mirandez will soon be going to school if he is in fact alive out there. So he will be school age. And usually this is when it's found out that, guess what? I'm the kid on the milk carton type of thing. You know, you got kids coming back 20 years later saying, I don't believe my mother is my mother. And then they find out, you know, this baby was swiped from the hospital and, you know, there it goes. This kid has been missing when the kid was declared deceased because they never could find the kid after a certain amount of time. You know, they don't keep these cold cases open and cold anymore. They warm it up and they shut it down. It costs a lot of money to keep a case open and people following either dead leads or ghost chasing, one or the other. That's what we technically call it, ghost chasing. Someone will call, hey, I just seen him. He had a white t-shirt on, it's a blue shorts. You know, all kinds of things that'll keep you ghost chasing. So another thing is when they allegedly was ghost chasing, they called it in. I think it was some lady in Levittown said, hey, there was a sighting of King. This was the kid. They had him wrapped up. He had a mask on. I know this was him. And basically it was not him. The parent actually came back to Walmart with the kid in his arms, along with the mother, and said, someone said my kid was missing. He was a mixed breed kid. His mother was Latino. The father was African-American. So the kid resembled King. You know, the mixture of the blend usually can produce what's missing. So they thought it was him, but it was not him. And, you know, moving forward, we're going to keep the airways open for anyone that has information. Feel free because, you know, people are talking. They're still talking. They're saying, listen, this case does not make any sense, you know, and their ears are open right now. And my ears are open like Pinocchio. So just know that I'm always listening. I always will take information and confirm it before throwing it out there, because I like to know that this is factual and actual stuff that's pertinent so people can keep their eyes open. But just the fact of knowing that this kid will soon be going to kindergarten, preschool, you know, it should keep the eyes open even more because he could be still in the United States of America. He could be in Baltimore. He could be in Indiana. He could be Puerto Rico is a part of the U.S., so he could be in Puerto Rico. Who knows? He could be in Florida. So when people are still on the alert of keeping their eyes and ears open for this kid, guess what? You see him and you say, wait a minute, he looks a little different because now he looks a little mature, but this is King Hill, Mirandez, Carabello. He's one of the three, or he may be one of the four, because at this age, and he's been declared deceased, you can easily give him a new name and you can start from scratch again. Because they'll look it up and say, oh, that kid was deceased, but we have another kid, King so-and-so, and this kid is alive and breathing. He looks like this kid that was declared deceased, but what ever happened? You know, so got to keep your eyes and your ears open to the streets, because the streets are definitely talking and they're not letting this go by, you know, without being solved, because there were a lot of people that did a lot of footwork, especially that gentleman that is part of that Strawberry Hill Mansion group of guys that go out and, you know, volunteer services and so on. And the newfound friend that I had met that knows Beatty or Beetle or whatever her name is that this woman called her, you know, it's mind-boggling. But keep your eyes and your ears open, and I will constantly update you with anything that concerns King Hill, Mirandez, Carabello, whatever the name could be, Mirandez. I'll keep you guys posted on anything that comes up on this case, because it's very important. You know, people take these cases and they look at them kind of sideways. And I remember when Tiana was arrested, people were saying, oh, she's a murderer. Oh, she's this. If you look at any of the criminal shows that are out now, the, you know, Law and Order, NCIS, all of those shows, who they usually take into custody first is never the perpetrator. So you guys need to wisen up a little bit. You know, sometimes with hardcore proof evidence, like there was blood on her fingertips. They swap fingers and there's DNA of King's on her hand. Oh yeah, you're guilty. There was some foul play involved and you did it. And we need to figure out now how you did it. There was even someone that went into T Park's apartment after her family cleaned it out. And this person is a person that handles crime scenes. They're actually a crime scene investigator. Let me throw that out there, okay? This crime scene investigator said, listen, I was there and there was no sign of, you know, any type of murder that took place. Because there was all kind of theories that were coming up on the web. She murdered him in her house and bagged up the body. I mean, listen, if that was a murder scene, I'm quite sure there would have been something else besides what you have and what's been publicized. Somebody would have said something. Don't shoot the messenger. You know, I'm just getting the message to bring on. But I'll keep you updated with King Hill and Tiana Parks, because, you know, we want to make sure there's some closure to this. There's a lot of people that love this kid that needs closure, especially the Parks family. The Parks family loved this kid to death like he was one of their own. And the gentleman that is the, what did I call him last week, guys? The stepdad that's not really stepdad. The keeper, you know, I don't know, babysitter dad, that's the name I gave him. He was basically, you know, the babysitter dad. And he did a lot for the kid as well. He had a lot of love and care for the kid. It says a lot about him to care for a kid that wasn't even yours. And then you go pay a babysitter to babysit a kid that is not yours to say, hey, I got to go to work every day. Yeah, that says a lot about someone's credibility as a person, standards, they call it. You know, it just shows a lot. And I commend the Parks family. I know that they have a couple of their family members listening on today. And I'd like to say thank you for joining in. And also, I'd like to commend you for doing such a great job when you did have King Hill in your custody. Because as it was stated by Cyrita Hicks, he was alive, he was breathing, and he was well taken care of. Okay, and for something like this to have happened, once he's sent back to whomever, it's a little devastating for them as a family, and for their you know, her niece to be going through this particular situation. So I commend you, Parks family and babysitter dad, for doing a great job for a kid that was not yours, or, you know, wasn't even a relative of yours. I commend you. You know, when it should have been others to step up to the plate to do their job as a parent or as a, you know, babysitter, a babysitter dad, you know, whatever you may call yourself, grandparents, great grandparents, uncle, aunts, whatever, whoever it may be, I want to commend the people that actually did their job and did the right thing by Little King. Also, I'd like to thank SP News Nuggets for handling this story on King Hill appropriately and not misleading the public with, you know, shenanigans that were coming in. I like to commend SP News Nuggets. She's on Wednesdays on YouTube, so you guys can look her up, SP News Nuggets. Very good show, by the way. But I commend her as well, because what she does, it takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of time to confirm certain things, because she doesn't have, like, you know, alleged and supposed and maybe, you know, she gets down to the bottom of things and she holds the facts. And she doesn't scandalize people's names on her show. That's another thing I like about SP News Nuggets. She's a very straightforward, outstanding woman. She's a stand-up woman. She has standards. I like that about her. But we'll move forward to Tweety Bird from last week. She had a lot to say that was a little devastating. As a matter of fact, I got thousands of email questions in regards to people wanting answers as to what happened to her in there. They want details. And we're going to have her back on the show because we need a full hour, maybe a part one and a part two with her, because these questions are very deep, very, very deep. And she's the only person that can answer these questions. And it's just, it's very sad because, you know, I looked into this Wordsworth, you know, I think I called it something else, but it's Wordsworth Academy. And it was a residential treatment program for troubled youths in West Philadelphia. And it's just amazing. This place that she spoke about, they shut it down. I'm finding out. I had chill bumps when I tell you guys this. They shut it down because I have like unanswered questions myself. This place was opened back in 2006. They had a long run. They had a 10-year run of possibly abusing other children. And this goes far. I mean, this is like really deep, guys. You know, I hate to be the one to throw them out there, but I tell you about these third-party umbrella agencies that's supposed to protect, you know, your child or the youth that are in custody. They have a poor way of demonstrating that. You know, remember I told you about that CASA agency that I wanted to be a part of it, but when I saw the shenanigans with them, you know, and how they were trying to turn the children in the courts against the parents, in my heart, I can't be that kind of person. That's just a little too devastating for me. It's horrible. You would be such an animal, you know, like you would have to eat roadkill to be a part of what they wanted me to be a part of. And, you know, I reading some of the things and how they wrote it up, copying and pasting, you know, plagiarism all day long, by the way. And, you know, you would think that they're college educated, they would know how to put a paragraph together. No. So some people need writing classes all over again. You know, they have to put down, they have all these degrees. Your degree means nothing if you're committing plagiarism. What are you really done with your life? You know, I hate to say it that way, but that's just what it is. But this Wordsworth umbrella agency, they were shut down. They were shut down. And I kid you not, in October of 2016, the exact date was October 13, 2016, a 17-year-old boy died after staff members tried to restrain him. By the way, that's what they told the police. That's nothing he could say because he's deceased. You know, they just know that this kid was badly beaten. He was badly beaten. For a 17-year-old, he was badly beaten in this place. Okay. This Wordsworth Academy, according to what is confirmed, you know, it's It made news. It was headlines. Okay? They actually claimed that they could not control this kid. Mind you, for such a program that's an umbrella system, you would think they would have people in this treatment facility that would know how to contain these kids that have these type of issues. You know, like Tweety Bird said, listen, hey, they were shooting us with drugs in our butt. They were shooting it up our butt to keep us contained and to keep us like mutes all day long. Like, unbelievable. You know, and some other things that she shared off the air with me, as far as like tying kids up and you might as well give them back to the abusive parent. And I've always said, you're leaving the rape victim with the rapist, you know, and I'll stand by that all day long because they have careless behavior. When you are responsible for a child, someone's child, you know, much less I like to see how their household is ran up under, you know, the paperwork. But you'd be surprised that some of these third-party umbrella affiliates and their friends that they have, you'd be surprised that these people are really weird, okay? Because I'll tell you something that's firsthand knowledge, and it's actually confirmed. There's a individual that works for the system that I know personally. She has a weird group of friends that smoke weed, common criminals. I mean, it's okay if you're doing marijuana, whatever your drug choice could be. And then you turn around and you be that person's cheerleader and your job is to protect the youth. And you fail to protect the youth because of your friendships within the system, you know? And that's kind of bias. As a matter of fact, talking about being biased, I had someone that listened to my show spoke to me about Judge Young and said, oh, you know, it's very nice of you to say the things that you said about Judge Young, you know? And I'm like, hey, hold it. My relationship is different from your relationship with Judge Young. I don't know what personal situation you've had. I've always had good experiences. But this person, this individual says to me, you don't know Judge Young like I know Judge Young. And I didn't know what that meant, so I wanted them to elaborate. But I won't go there because that's really messy. And I don't want to be messy on my show. You know, I have a lot of people that look up to me. And that would be just like carrying back dirty news. And I don't want to carry dirty news on my show. So, you know, it's amazing. But I'm going to go back to Wordsworth, okay, for whatever they were worth. You know, they actually had a lot of infractions there dealing with kids. And this, the murder, I'm going to say the murder, because he died and no one had an explanation. And you know what? What was weird to me about this case, and mind you, it's public information, by the way. They never mentioned the judge's name who was sending kids to this facility. Okay, because it says in the article, 30 young people it represents at the facility, each of whom was sent there by a judge for treatment after an arrest or due to family issues such as neglect or abuse. They never mentioned the judge's name. Usually mention the judge, like Judge so-and-so, you know, actually was placing kids there. It seems like, I don't know. This judge never spoke out either. So I don't know who the judge was in this particular case. But it's, you know, it was kind of weird to me. And then there's another little clip from the article that says, Medics pronounced the boy dead at 9:36 p.m. Police have not identified him or said where he was from. Isn't that a little mysterious to you? That a minor child in the custody of the third party umbrella is basically murdered in a protection system. I don't know how that happens, but it happened. And he's not identified. Like, Black Lives Matter has been out for a long time. And I tell you what, all the millions that they've collected, I'm kind of wondering, why wasn't this story ever published? And I'm also wondering, I mean, published to the extent of, let's get justice for all these kids that are being abused and murdered in this third party umbrella system. Like, there's some weirdness going on here, you know, and it seems like someone may be in cahoots with someone else, if you could read between the fine print, because there's no way a 17-year-old kid is murdered and basically this place is shut down immediately. There's not even a letter saying you're going to be sanctioned. You're just shut down as an emergency closure. And by the way, this place was in West Philadelphia, 3905 3905 Ford Road, Wordsworth Academy. And by the way, they have three other facilities that are still open and running. So they shut the one down that was really getting all the heat, you know, with these kids that were being, I don't even know, mutilated, sodomized. I mean, you got a 17-year-old boy that was murdered and no one even knows his name. He has no name, so he was buried without a name. Coroner has no information. Coroner said the cause of the teen's death had not been determined. When have you ever heard that a child's death goes undetermined? No one was arrested. No one was held accountable. No one is available to say, we are here for this kid. He's just a John Doe. So we would have to do some homework to go back to DOA records. Not DOA, DOD, sorry. I'm thinking arrests. Too much work on my plate. DOD records. I mean, it's really bad. It's really bad that there's no one to speak up for this 17-year-old that has died. And I'm hoping that someone on this platform will hear this story and say, wait a minute, let's speak up for John Doe, who didn't have a voice. His voice was stolen from him. And this is what happens when you leave it up to others to make decisions with your children. Not the babysitters like Tiana Parks, who really cares for the child, or the babysitter dad, you know, that really showed love and made sure the kid was safe. I'm talking about the parents that neglect their children, like truly neglect their kids, you know? Neglect. That's the word we're going to use, neglect, because that's what it boils down to. You know, it's just like, you know, you have a newborn and you neglect to change the diaper and the baby has a diaper rash. You're like, oh, wow, look, you're raw. You know, this kid is screaming their lungs out. That's definitely neglect. And when the kid goes to the doctor or the hospital, because the mother's like, oh, my God, it's so bad right now that it's bleeding and I don't know how to make it stop. Those are the parents that need to be, you know, really questioned about the care of their children. Because no baby should have a diaper rash that bad, okay? Because that would be definitely neglect. So it took for this John Doe to get murdered. Remind you, there's been previous situations of abuse with this facility, Wordsworth. According to Tweety Bird, she was in this facility. You know, she got beaten. Unbelievable. You know, things that she said off the air, you know, basically stomped. you know, and taken advantage of and drugged through the facility, you know, if she spoke out, if she said anything. Like, why would someone hurt a kid that can't really defend themselves? You know, it behooves me. I hope G Money, that's his name, I hope he calls in today, because I really would like to get him on the air if he's available, so he can let us know more about this residential treatment facility that was approved by, you know, the government, millions and millions of dollars to house these children that some judge, no name mentioned, was referring that he thought was, or she, because we don't know if it's a he or she, because the name was never mentioned, you know, what they saw in a place. And I would like to talk to that judge to say, like, you know, what made you think that this place was a good place for children, you know, to be supervised by the inexperienced, basically. They made mention of the staff not being totally educated to handle, it's not my words, it's theirs, the staff not being educated enough on mental illness. Mental illness is, it's very real out here, you know? And a lot of times people will leave these kids in the care of people with mental illness, you know, and they'll have them in these homes such as these, residential treatment programs. They'll have them in kinship. They'll have them as adoptive parents. They'll have them in foster care. You know, and these are some of the things that I'm being told by a friend of mine that actually works for the system. She said, well, you know, just because they have mental illness doesn't make them a bad person. My thing is, what happens if this person snaps one day and they can't handle the pressure of dealing with this traumatized child? Because, you know, these kids come from all walks of life and they've been through some things in life. So sometimes it could be with their own parents, or it can be the abuse of the foster parents, you know, leaving the rape victim with the rapist. It could make that person that has this child into custody, what if they snap? What if they're on medication and you've never done your homework to say, this is what they take? Like, you have to, like, run names today. You got to run names. You got to run their names at the pharmacy. You got to see what type of drugs these people were on prior to placing these children in the care of someone else. As a matter of fact, before even hiring someone to care for a child in a third party umbrella agency, get the medication list. Is it that hard to run a background check and do a list? These, some people suffer from anxiety. Some people are bipolar. Listen, anything can trigger an illness in anybody. So it's always better to be safe than sorry. Where, like, 17-year-old, whose name was never mentioned, by the way, so he's a John Doe. The judge had to have a name to send him there. They had to have a name. Name was never mentioned. That's very weird to me. But listen, this is America and anything can happen here. Anything. I don't, you know, second guess anything today, because people have weird things going on in their lives where you have to just sit back and just shake your head and just think about it. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to do a thorough background check. Nowadays, people are, you know, having, when I say boyfriend, girlfriends, move in with them. You know, people want to move on with their lives and have relationships. And you don't know that person. You don't know that when you met this guy, he was a psycho. You know, there was an article not too long ago of a guy, he's a girl's boyfriend. He's babysitting a kid and he murders the kid. You know, he claims he didn't know he was that aggressive with the kid. And, you know, according to the article, it said, basically, the kid was slammed to the floor, thrown down the steps. We're talking about a 4-year-old here who can't even defend himself. You know, that's 4 years old is a laugh and giggles type of time for these kids. They're being mischievous. They're doing things. You know, they're being kids. That's what kids do, you know. So for someone to basically harm a kid in that capacity, it's like totally, totally crazy to me. But this is what it is today. A little shocking with this Wordsworth Academy and Tweety Bird and the things that she said last week about being abused. And something else she said that stuck out in the back of my mind. She said that there were kids in this DHS system that were in a basement. Now, I haven't confirmed that, by the way. And that is to be confirmed because I have people that work on the inside. And I would like to know. Like, because maybe it may be a nice basement. It could be a basement that has, you know, a great play area, beds, TVs, you know, all the things, all the kit and caboodles that a kid would want to have. But I was just kind of trying to figure that part out because it caught my attention when she said that. And it's very interesting that, you know, she would even go through the same thing with her children. Her kids being taken away from her. And her kids were taken away from her because someone had a question in regards to that out of those, so many emails, so many questions. So we're going to need like a back-to-back show with her because her story is deep, guys. It's deep because can you imagine that you go from being a kid into custody, you know, and then your kids are now a part of that society. You know, it's more like the purge, if you ask me. You know, everybody's purging to get these kids. And she looked at it basically as kidnapping. She said they're actually legally kidnapping our children and basically putting them up for sale. I don't know how adoption works in Philadelphia, but I can tell you this much. I have a sister that adopted a little girl that was actually 2 months old when she got her. And now the little girl is 13 years old. And I can tell you, my sister was a foster parent at one time. And, you know, being of the Latino descent, it was kind of difficult for her to get this little girl because she was African-American. She is African-American. And basically, my sister wanted to keep her, not that she couldn't have kids. She has her own children, two great kids. And she said, I couldn't stand to see this little baby being pushed around through the system. And she decided that she talked to her husband and said, I think we should try to keep her. And that's what they did. And she didn't want to keep this little girl. You know, she fell in love with her because, you know, babies that age, 2-3 months old, you know, it's all cheeks and kisses at that point. But she fell in love with this little girl and she wanted to give the little girl back to her mother. The mother couldn't seem to get herself together. So my sister said, if the mother gets herself together, I'll be more than happy to give her back her daughter. The mother, long story short, very tragic. The mother couldn't get herself together. She ended up passing away last year. And this is, this little girl belongs to my sister because she adopted her. And I gave the little girl a nickname. I called her Kitten. And she's had that name since I met her at 2.5-3 months old. And I named her Kitten because when she used to cry, this little baby was born drug addicted. So she would cry. It sounded like a kitten purring, like a newborn kitten looking for their mom. So her cry sounded like that. And it was a lot of work for my sister to get this baby to wean her off of those drugs. Because, you know, these babies born drug addicted, it's in their system. You know, it was a very sad thing. So, you know, it took a lot for this little girl to get to where she is today. And I'm proud to say she's my niece, even though through the channels of adoption, this is how, you know, she became a part of my family. So my family does a lot for children. You know, if I had to take on a child, which I plan on adopting myself, a boy, because I do have two daughters, my husband and I have decided to adopt a child from the Dominican Republic and bring the child here to the United States and give them a chance and a good life. That's our goals for 2022 going forward. And by the way, I live in the state of New Jersey currently, will not be here for long. We've decided also to relocate to Florida because it's a better place. We look forward to being there to give this new child a new life. And that way they can see what it's like to be in America and have a fair shot at life here. You know, kids in countries such as Dominican Republic, you know, they don't get a fair shot as the American kid would get. So to make that possible, I'm going to make that dream come true for a child that's in need there. Even though I would do anything for a child in America, but I feel like I have to give something back to my people as well and give them a chance at life here in America. So, you know, it says a lot about who I am as a person. And I feel good about doing it because what is there to life if you can't share, you know, what's been given to you? So you have to be very grateful of those things. And I am very grateful and very fortunate. Unfortunately, though, G Money was not able to come on the show today, guys. But hopefully we can get him back next week because he is at work. But I met G Money. It's just incredible, through a mutual friend. And basically, when he heard what the show was about and moving forward, he was very interested in being a part of the show. And he actually broke down. This gentleman is like in his 40s. And he broke down to me, which in turn made me break down mentally. And, you know, I had to cry with him because it was that emotional. And I'm not trying to put my guests through any emotional turmoil on the show, but the things that he was forced to do being in this particular third party agency system, what he was forced to do was, I can't even find the right word for it. It's traumatizing. Sexual abuse. Of a kid, of a little boy, because that before he became grown, he was a little boy. And this has damaged his life. And I really appreciate G Money for opening up and talking about this with me and sharing it with me, because it was very, very emotional for me to hear the type of things that was done to him. And it all reflects back to, I'll tell you this much, a case that I handled a few years ago, and this case will sit with me for the rest of my life. Can't get into the particulars, but I will tell you this. It involved a minor. It involved a child. And, you know, my line of work is not easy. It's not easy. I give 199% of me in handling, you know, certain cases. But it tore me apart. It actually tore me apart. You know, I will try to get someone on the show next week, a family member of mine who was falsely accused of child abuse. I will get him on the show next week. Very, very sad case. And very, very sad. And I didn't even know all the particulars of this specific case in the beginning because it was like just initials. It was blanked out, names and so on. As I got into the investigation a little further, I like him to come on and I like him to tell you what he went through. And, you know, it's just very, very tragical of people that make up stories on people also, by the way, you know, it's very harmful. You know, I don't understand the mentality of some people and how they do things. But when you start making up stories of someone did this to me, someone did that to me, someone harmed my kid, and then you know that this stuff is not factual and you sit there and you ride the wave with this. I don't know if it's, I don't even think it's medication that this person can take to solve their inner issues. But when you do things like that, you are a sick individual. And that's when I say mental illness is real. And unfortunately, some people get help and some people don't want help. You know, it's a difference with that. But next week, I will have my relative come on the show and let him give you specifics. And by the way, we'll have Tweety Bird back as well. I just have to sort through all of those questions so we can have it organized and she's not just, you know, going from one end to the other end. But this case, and believe it or not, I was actually assigned to his case not knowing that he was my relative. You know, that was the crazy part about it. I found out that it was my relative once I had to see this individual in person, my cousin in person, and I'm like, we're family. You know, it wasn't biased for me to be on the case, but I felt as though for me not to be involved in his case of child abuse, because that's what he was charged with. He was charged with child abuse. He was charged with a very serious charge, and it was involving a 3-month-old baby, his daughter at 3 months old. I'll give you a little snippet, and he can get more in depth, but he was accused of taking the baby out of the baby mother's arms and body slamming the baby on the floor, and he was arrested. And he was looking at 20 years in prison for this particular charge. So I'm kind of glad that things worked out the way it did. And I'll let him elaborate. We'll give him some questions. And let's hear what he has to say about that. And also, he was involved with in New Jersey, it's called Division of Youth and Family Services. Let him tell you how he was treated in that system. And, you know, being falsely accused of doing something so heinous, this can have an everlasting, you know, blueprint on your life for someone to make up stories. It's like T. Parks. You're in jail right now for murder. You're sitting on trial for murder. If the trial goes forward, if it doesn't, we'll have to see how this thing plays out. But if she didn't do it, guess what? We were all, not me, because I always said, not that girl. But, you know, everybody kept saying, oh, she did it. She did it. She did it. She did it. You know, lock her away, throw away the key, let her burn, let it rip, whatever. You know, can't pass judgment without knowing all the facts. And some things have to be confirmed when it comes to certain things. Never look at someone as a face value and make assumptions. Not good, people. Take it from me. But I'll have that lined up for him to come on and give you his experience. And I will get Tweety Bird back on, and hopefully we can get a snippet from G Money about his stay at Wordsworth Academy and know more about his abuse that took place there. So I'm very interested in hearing a lot of what he has to say, as well as Tweety Bird. So guys, I'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat place. Have a good day. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.